Welcome to Real Deal Recovery, where the focus is topic-based and centered on physical and emotional recovery from drugs and alcohol or any other self-destructive behavior. Here's your host, Stephen Gerard.
Hello and welcome to Real Deal Recovery. One of the benefits of getting and staying clean and sober is the ability to make positive choices. Rosalind's been living a passionate, clean, and sober life for many years, so it's only fitting that our topic today is passion. She's a medical therapist, recovery advocate with a private practice. She's going to be telling us about that a little bit later in the podcast. Rosalind's joining us from Los Angeles. Rosalind, welcome to Real Deal Recovery.
Thanks, Stephen.
Ros, before we get to our topic, could you set the table by taking us through your last year of drinking and drugging and your first year of recovery?
What a question, and it's so interesting, but it's very hard to remember all that occurred back in the late 80s, but what I do recall is that I was running with no particular place to go, and I kept winding up in places that were unfamiliar and uncomfortable and chaotic, and it was not an adventure that one would consider enlightening or exciting. It was desperation. It was hopelessness. It was a great deal of frustration and sadness and the inability to put the pieces of my life together or to find any sort of direction that was going to be a path that was not filled with self-destruction. But 28 and a half years later, I'm still here on a very different path and existence. So, but for the grace of whatever, I got through it.
What was that defining moment, perhaps, that allowed you to put the drugs down in that first year?
Interesting question. I think the camaraderie and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and its people on a deep but superficial level at that time, I believed that they believed, and through the engagement of the relationships that I was starting to have within this 12-step program, I believe that they had hope and that they saw a light that I was not quite able to see on my own or muster up the energy from within to be in that direction on my own. So really was not, I don't want to say the 12 steps themselves, but predominantly the fellowship, the relationships that I was starting to have with other people gave me the incentive to just keep doing what they were doing and putting one foot in front of the other.
The topic for this podcast is passion, and I've known you for a little bit over 10 years, and I do know that you live your life with a passion. What does passion mean to you for our listeners?
What does passion mean for me, for your listeners, and now my listeners? Addiction for me and the habitual forms that I was involved in, the things that I was doing to survive back then, and the habits that became a big component of my everyday life, I had to transfer that energy somewhere. My beliefs and my energy is not constructed in a God of my understanding or a higher power, although I do believe in the power of the moon or the ocean or the sun or the energy out in the world. I haven't really figured out what a higher power of God is. But so I needed some balance, specifically in the past 10 years, to balance my life from my professional work that can sometimes be devastating, the personal voices that are in my head at times that are, and I'm not talking about in a schizophrenic sort of way, and I'm not judging schizophrenia. It's just the voices in my head that can be negative or hopeless or have the ability to want to give up. I need a balance in my life to challenge that energy. And in the 3 decades of recovery, I've had the opportunity to balance my life via academia, via social justice work, and for the past decade via salsa dancing. So I just think it's important to try to connect to things that are impassioned in my life, that bring me joy and peace and harmony and balance. And I'm not discounting service or, you know, selfless service to others. I think that's a very important component of recovery, but I'm not a Mother Teresa, and I've lived a pretty self-centered life before I came to recovery, and I've challenged that energy. But, you know, I'm single. I have no children, no grandchildren, so I need a balance of something that's going to fill my spirit and my soul in order to keep the homeostasis in my life. Some people turn to medication that is prescribed by a doctor, be it their inability to balance the depression that many addicts and maybe alcoholics, I'm mostly involved in Narcotics Anonymous, and I have the utmost respect for AA, but I can't really speak about the cultural milieu in AA. I can only speak about what I see in NA. And the important component to not go too far down or not go too far up, not having, not allowing yourself to be hyper manic or clinically depressed. And I'm not saying that people are not clinically depressed. We see it all the time with the suicidal ideations and people that decide to take their own life after being in recovery for long periods of time. So that's a real thing. But I have to be a participant, an active participant in my life, and I have to utilize a bunch of tools in order to keep me from self-destructive behavior. And one of those tools is figuring out what impassions my spirit and my soul.
Ross, how have the steps helped you to, you know, get in touch with what you've been speaking about the last few minutes?
To be real as Rain, because I'm originally from New York City, and being real as Rain has really got me to this point that I've been in recovery and has given me the opportunity to stay clean a day at a time for the amount of time that I have. The steps are a way of life that are not, I believe that AA took them from something and something took them from something. And what a gift they are in my life to continuously be responsible, to be introspective, to be humble, to be available to others. I don't believe that these 12 steps are any different than something that comes from any religiosity. I believe that they're tools for me to utilize consistently, to live my life with some integrity, with some honesty, with the ability to be open, and to grow and evolve and continuously look at what part I play in my relationship with others and how I can, on a daily basis, when I'm really trying to live them, be available to understand my the way I think and feel and act and what I need to do to change the way I act. I haven't figured out a way to totally change the way I think. My initial responses are good.
Sorry about that. We got cut off with our connection. We're back with Roz. Roz, let's shift gears a little bit.
Wait, I have to tell you, Stephen.
Okay.
You and I have been cut off with our connection many times in our life since I know you, and then we reconnect, so Skype is not so different than life itself.
No. What do you think? I just wish it wasn't happening right now.
Well, guess what? Everybody wishes things that challenge us don't happen at the moment they happen, but shit happens.
Now we need to put the E on the podcast. Roz, what activities are you involved in now that demonstrate your passion?
Sorry. You know, I pick this topic of passion, and it's so funny because there's not a lot of things that, you know, that I'm engrossed in that sort of fill that void of what the fellowship in Hollywood, California has done for me in the past 14 and a half years. Has really taught me about being more of service, and when I do service, it's not just for a 12-step program. I mean, there are many ways one could be of service. And I've had a history of being in service because I'm a licensed clinical social worker, but I'm also getting paid for doing that kind of work. So being of service to a client or a patient and receiving not only a bonus of feeling good about myself, but getting paid for it sort of challenges that service. But in my professional hat, my full-time work, I work in hospice care. So all of my patients are just dying to meet me, but I'm bummed. And that work, although there's a lot of light in the work and assisting people, you know, in their process, not assisting them to die, but, you know, assisting the patient and family on this final journey, it gets very depressing. So I started salsa dancing around a decade ago, and the salsero community is not very different than a 12-step program, and really ways in which we get better in life is when we find community that empowers us. Although I've studied addiction at length and have done a tremendous amount of addiction work on a local, state, national, and international level, I don't like speaking for other people when I'm being asked to speak about myself. But the reality is, for me as an active addict, although I had relationships with other people, be it sugar daddies or tricks or clients runners, those relationships were all built on despair and conflict. Community is an important component for me in regards to staying on the right journey. And I find that in 12-step programs. And I have, although I don't get deep in conversation in the salsa community, it's like, shut the fuck up and dance. You know, I don't really need to know your name unless we've danced for a while, but it's the spirit of the music and the spirit period of celebrating my sexuality as a woman in her mid-50s, getting older as we speak, but still much more comfortable in my own skin and celebrating that skin and getting dressed up and being provocative and being respectful and having energy and kicking up endorphins that we get from cardiovascular exercise. That's the passion. There are so many variables connected to that, and for folks that I've worked with either as a sponsor or as a clinician, if they have the ability to exercise, is such an important component in recovery, to utilize those endorphins in a way that keeps us afloat. There are things that go on in our brain that we have no control over, and there are things that go on in our brain that I have some control over, and that's the serenity prayer, to change the things I can, to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference.
You know, Roz, you've covered so much ground. If one of our listeners would like to find out more about working with you, how do they get a hold of you? And is there a particular place on the web you can send them to?
Well, any bathroom in New York has my number. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even live in New York. And because it's so gentrified, New York, they probably erased my number.
Now, let's not bash New York, okay? Okay.
My website is RosalynBlumensteinLCSW.com, and that's RosalynBlumensteinLCSW.com, or you could Google my full name, or you can find me on Facebook. I find you right away till I figure out if you are a friend or a foe. So that's the way you could get in touch with me.
Rosalyn, thanks again for going on the pod today. We really appreciate it so much. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Stephen Gerard is available for sober coaching and consulting. Just visit realdealrecoverypod.com. That's realdealrecoverypod.com and the Work With Me tab. Make a decision to change your life.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're very grateful for that. If you find this content of value and you'd like to have it delivered directly to your device or phone, just head over to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe. And then you won't have to go searching for it each week. It'll just go straight to your device. If you have any recovery-related questions or you'd like to get a hold of me for any reason, you can reach me at realdealrecoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's realdealrecoverypodcast@gmail.com. And remember, recovery is not a spectator sport. Get in the ring.